explain something to you, just why we're doing something a little different.
Anybody ever cook or bake or make something?
Oh, no, never.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I have cooked before where I got a recipe or an idea from somebody, and I spent a long time making this thing. And I had friends over to give them this thing, whatever it is. Let's say it's fajitas. I'm not very fancy. And I can't wait to present the meal because I want to enjoy it. And we had this friend, this Filipino friend that was a world-class cook. She'd been to the Cordon Bleu School of Cooking and all that. And she'd have us over, just out of the blue, we'd get a call. And she'd say, come over, I make delicious things, you know, whatever. And we'd come over and she'd have this spread. And she'd sit there and go like this. She wouldn't eat, she'd just watch us. And she'd watch us eat and with great joy. And how you like it? Oh, this is really good. How you like it? Every bite you took, she got the pleasure. And I just thought that was so cool. That's what we're doing here. We're trying to prepare something that we can say, how do you like it? Taste that. What do you think? As we've kind of prayed through this and thought through this, what are we doing? Thinking through what is the church? What is the body of Christ? Obviously, the church isn't the four walls or schedules or the programs. The church is the people. We're the body of Christ and we're the bride of Christ. And as we're looking at Scripture, going, how do you best relate to the body? What do you do? And he has this really personal, intimate relationship with the body of Christ. Through the ages, that's become more of a corporate pursuit rather than an intimate thing. It's become more institutional. So we're trying to back out of that motif and get still and get more in line with what we see as our spiritual DNA as we see it in Scripture. So our spiritual DNA is, if you're a believer, you have Christ. And if you have Christ, you have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, then you have gifts, tremendous gifts. He gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints for works in ministry that we might all minister one to another and come to deep unity and then come to maturity in Christ. And that all takes place as you do what the Holy Spirit has gifted you to do. But we have very little place to do that. And so what we do on a typical Sunday morning is we've got a few gifted people up front and a whole bunch of hungry people here. You have this thing going on, but the real hunger, the real thirst is met as the body ministers to the body, not as a chosen few do their thing. And it's like watching a football game. You see down there 22 people doing everything they can. As you all watch, what do they say? 22 very tired people working very hard so that all the fat, out of shape people can be entertained. They're the ones that should be down on the field. They're the ones that should be playing. And it's the same way. We're the ones that should be playing. We're the ones that should be on the field. And so God gave us some coaches. We prepared a meal and we hope that it's delicious. We watch and we go, what do you think? How do you feel about that? And whenever I would eat her meals, I want to enjoy whatever it is she's given me. If we're too quick to go, well, I don't like that. Or if you're one of those picky eaters that won't even taste it. You know, you got to taste it. And the Lord says, taste and see that he is good. So all those metaphors to simply say, we really hope that you taste and see that he is good. We really hope that you dig deep and use your gifts today. We really hope that we can wait on the Lord and let him do what he chooses to do. So we're going to keep working with this idea. Give us input. Get involved. Use your gifts. Minister to each other. And watch and see that the Lord is good. Watch. Watch. Now, we're going to make two transitions. We're going to go to a leader-led music time. We thought about doing it with instruments out here. We practiced that a couple times and went, that's not going to work. Because I'm sitting next to you with my bongo. You're not going to be able to hear anybody else. So we decided, okay, we're going to go traditional this way. But then we're going to come back and we're going to have Bible study as we wait on the Spirit. And here's where it gets really interesting. We're believing the Lord has already been there. As we see in Scripture over and over, wait on the Lord. Well, what if there's a lot of silence? Good. Be still. Know that I am God. Wait on the Lord. We don't get to do that very often in a church context. It's go, 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 do, 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 do. And we want to be still and know that He is God. Wait on the Lord. That's our hope today, is that when the service is over and we all head over to potluck, when the service is over, we all go, that was good. What time is it over? We don't know. How long is it going to go? We'll see. What's the goal? The goal is that we hear from the Lord, we walk in that, that you use your gifts. And I've done this many times in the past. And when you do it, all of a sudden, it's over. You're free to go. There is a move of the Spirit that's very tangible, very real, and then it's done. We hope to enter into that space. Does that make sense? We put a sign on the door that says, enter in respect, what does it say? In reverence and awe, knowing that God is preparing His bride. Really, it should say Christ is preparing His bride. Christ is preparing His bride. That's what's amazing. His bride, we're the bride of Christ. And Dave was giving us a lot of teaching on the bride thing and how the bride was taken out of the side of Adam. Not created like Adam was.
Excellent.
What? Oh, yeah, yeah. Eve was pulled out of Adam's side. A whole different motif of creation taken out of. The church was taken out of the side of Christ. A different kind of creation, and yet, like we just saw in Ephesians 3, is it's the most wonderful thing. There was Jew, there was Gentile, now there's this thing called the Bride of Christ, the church. Quite different than everybody else in the world, and when we gather, that's when the magic happens. It doesn't happen as powerfully or as often as when you're on your own. This is not a solo thing, this is not a Lone Ranger thing. This is a corporate thing as God works in us, through us, among us. Your gifts are very important to me because I can't mature without your gifts. Please use your gifts. My gifts are important to you because you can't mature without my gifts, right? That's what it says. He gave us all these gifts so we can minister one to another and come to unity and then come to maturity. So that's the process. Gifts, unity, and then growth. This is going to be fun because we're passing the baton. After we're done worshiping corporately, we'll pass the baton back to you. Okay? So be listening. Be aware. God wants to do something special. So, Father, as we've been praying, have your way. Move in a powerful way. We pray that we're not blocking you. We pray that we're not resisting you. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be open, be receptive, be useful in your hands. Oh, yeah. Bless these musicians as they present this offering to you and to the body. Just like our friend presented this, a wonderful meal. We want this to be a meal where we all share together as we worship. And so, have your way in Jesus' name.
All right, so let's give her a go, amen?
What'd you say? Amen. Now we're going to go in a time to take some communion together. If you haven't done communion with us before, just give a little instruction of what it is. We got bread that we're going to break and tear off pieces of that bread. We've got the little standard little dinky cups of grape juice, and we all know that's the blood and body of Christ. And we've been doing communion for a year now, over and over and over. And I don't think we've had the same kind of communion twice. It keeps changing as we learn more about what communion is, as we learn more about what each of the things mean. Even this week I learned something we've never seen before and how it all ties in together. But there are so many illustrations, pictures, ways that God speaks through all this. And we'll start with the broken body. And this is something we learned a few weeks ago that was just amazing to us.
You know, Christ's body wasn't broken. And we're like, what? Why did they say that? His broken body? Because they didn't break his bones. Remember, he died when they got there. Usually, it's the night before the Sabbath. I mean, as they're entering into the Sabbath, the guys are up on the cross. They, you know how that works. They push themselves up just to get air to stay alive. They're on the cross and choking themselves out, but they'll push up to get another grasp of air. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of an image of us. Die, man. Die, get it over with. It's not about you, it's about Christ. Just, you know, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but the life I now live is Christ living through me. But sometimes we just want to hang on and hang on. And these guys on the cross, they would just push themselves up. So when it was coming close to time that it's Sabbath, they would just break these guys' legs. They'd take a sledgehammer and break their legs on the cross so they couldn't push themselves up anymore. And then they'd die of suffocation. Not of all the other terrible things that were going on, but of the suffocation. They get to Jesus, and they go, ah, he's already gone. They didn't break his legs. He's already dead, because he said, I give up my soul to you, Lord. He chose when he stepped into the very presence of God. And so, as he's there, they come up to him to break those legs, and they were broken. And it says in Isaiah that he wasn't, his legs weren't broken, his bones weren't broken. So why does it say, this is my body broken for you? Well, we looked that up. That's an interesting word. You know what it really means? It's torn. This is my body torn for you. That word, and think of it, how torn up his body was for us over and over and over. And he endured that because of his love for us. And because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross and its shame. What was the joy set before him? This. The joy set before him was us. He went to the cross to give us life. Before us, there were Jews and Gentiles, and then he gave birth to this new thing through the cross. God bless you, sister. And so as we take the bread, we break it in remembrance of torn body. His body being broken for us. Not in the same way you might think. But so now, keep that picture in mind. And then we go to the blood, his blood poured out for us for the washing of sin away. It's beautiful because when he gives us that, he said, this is the new covenant in what? In my blood. This is the new covenant. We have the old covenant, trying to go and trying to be good, trying to be holy, and sacrificing all those animals. And he was the last sacrificial lamb, the last lamb ever to be slain. And there's a whole story on that in and of itself, in the whole sacrificial order of everything that happens in the Jewish world. Jesus really was the last lamb slain in that whole order of things. And now we have full access to the Holy of Holies. We can go right in there. And so we're acting very much like this represents the Holy of Holies. We're in the very holy presence of God. And as we take this bread with thanksgiving in our heart, it reminds us of all that he's done for us. And as we take this juice, we take this remembering of all that he did for us, and that it's a new covenant. We're not under the law, where if you do, I will. If you won't, I will zap you. It isn't that. It is come in because Christ has made you holy. You are holy, perfect, and pure because of Christ. And you go, yeah, Mike, have you ever spent a day with me? You wouldn't say that. I'm telling you, in Christ, you are perfect, pure, and holy. It's not about you anymore. It's about him. And so as we take this, keep in mind all that took place and all that's being represented by these silly little elements. And I love that too, that it's bread and juice, which every household in the whole wide world has bread and juice. Always. Anybody can take communion anytime, anywhere. And don't forget, you can do it at home. You can do it with your loved ones. You can do it with your spouse. You can do it at the park. You can do it anywhere that you just want to take a moment and remember the body and the blood of Christ and all he gave. And as we do that, remember the body, that we are now the new body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. So we're going to break this loaf. We'll pray, break the loaf, and spread it out, okay? So Father, we just pray your blessing on this loaf as we spread it, that it reminds us we are one loaf. As we spread it, we are one body. As we spread it, it's your body broken for us. As we break it and spread it out among us, then we'll take it in unison just again to illustrate the beauty of the unity and the connectedness of the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Oh, I see what you got going on here.
Before we pass out the cup, anything on your heart you want to share about communion, about the bread, the body? What comes to mind?
I love what Dave just said, that he wasn't broken, but we were. And now we're not broken, and he is, because he's got those wounds forever that he suffered for us voluntarily and planned to do so from the foundation of the world.
Wow. Yeah, that is an interesting thought, that in heaven, where we actually reside now, his bride is perfect, unblemished, unwrinkled, pure perfection. He, however, bears the scars of the payment that he made for his bride. So for eternity, he's wounded, but we are not.
Mm.
So again, Lord, we thank you for your body broken for us. And we thank you for giving us this symbol to remember over and over and over. We're not re-crucifying you. We're re-remembering you. We're thanking you. We're praising you. We're celebrating new life. We were broken, and you healed us. And you took our brokenness upon yourself. And we thank you for that, Lord. Just glorious. As Julie plays through this song again, we'll try to keep the words up there. Do you remember? No, it was, this is a holy moment.
This is the bridge. Oh, you've got the wrong song. Oh, there you go. Keep going all the way to the very bottom.
God, I just come before you this morning with my heart broken like yours was for all that you have done for us. I can't imagine what you went through on my behalf because of my sins, but you took that upon yourself. You gave your life so that I can have an eternal life with you in heaven. Thank you for this cup which represents your shed blood and for what that means to me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Any special insights or thoughts you have on communion? What God's saying to you, how it's affecting you? What you've thought in the past? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, when I was growing up, I could never understand why the blood was being talked about so often. Why are they always talking about the blood, the blood, the blood? And when I finally understood and God revealed that to me, it was just like, oh, it was such a glorious moment that I go back to that every once in a while. I'm in awe.
Amen.
Amen.
What? When was it? What happened? What brought it to light for you?
It just Bible study, understanding. Understanding. Thank you.
So it was Bible study. Just your own personal Bible study, or in a group, or what happened? Where the light
went off? But mainly it was a group study that we were doing, and I don't even remember the moment. I know that it just—I was in church and listening to the sermon, and it just came on me. It's like, oh,
that's why we do it.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was a revelation.
It was.
A life-changing revelation.
Isn't it cool how, I mean, if you look at if you're old enough to have been in Christ for a while, you look back and you go, there are significant milestones along the way where he just gave a bigger, broader view and bigger, broader view, and all of it got more real, more powerful, and it's somewhere along the way, more of me was given to him. Somewhere along the way, you know, I thought I was all in the day I said, I do, you know? And then I remember these milestones were, no, I guess I really hadn't given you everything. And then, oh no, and my understanding got broader and deeper, and to the place where it brought me to understanding grace, it blew my mind. I couldn't believe it, that I don't have anything left to do except to enjoy him. And then when I rest in him and enjoy him, all of a sudden all this stuff starts happening. I start understanding the word deeper. I start understanding communion. I start understanding all of my relationship with him more and more. And I mean, it just keeps getting better. How is this possible? But like that, coming to that realization, how precious communion is. Anybody else have an awakening or have a communion story?
Excuse me. Leviticus tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Mm-hmm. And Christ gave his life to us. And I think that the play on words and that we talk about and sing about being washed in the blood, well, you put that in street language and that's a bloodbath. But it speaks to our risen Lord has given us his now eternal blood, and it seals that promise that we too have eternal life through that same blood and because of the blood bath that he endured so we could be washed. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, thank you, that's awesome.
Just makes you want to sing Forever Grateful, but I'm not sure if that song's been written yet.
Oh yeah, that one's written.
I'm forever grateful. You know that one, do you?
I don't know.
I happen to know it. I think. Let me see. Let's see if there's something here. How's that start, baby?
I don't remember.
I'm grateful to you. Tyler, do you know this song? I'm Forever Grateful.
I'm sure I didn't pick it up. But I'm going
to
play it. I don't know the song.
I don't remember it. Da-da. Come on, I know the song. You did not wait for me to draw near to you.
But you see what the modern world of technology.
You're gonna like this song if you don't know it. Come on, we'll find it. So glad you're here today. Watch, you'll like this song, you know?
Let's see if I can find something that actually
opened. Yeah, they're going to try to charge you for it. You did not work. to cry out to you. What?
You can pull it up on guitar.
Yeah, this is messing me up. I did not wait for me to cry near to you. But you.
What's the name of the song?
I'm forever grateful. Or, yeah, I'm forever grateful. But you gotta tell it.
Did you see it?
Yeah, but you gotta tell it.
I can't see anymore.
Oh, yeah, I'll turn those on.
Yeah,
that would help.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
And I know a lot of hymns I was saved in the old country church.
I don't know it, but I know how to sing it. Isn't that weird how we can do that?
Yeah, it follows a certain pattern. Yes, sir?
Before we start, can I request that we all pray? A prayer request. Should I get something here? You mind if I turn the lights off?
Yeah.
I'll turn it back on. So you guys all know Sharon
Bodine,
right? Well, her son Ransom is a good friend of mine, and their little 8-year-old son is up in Riverbend Hospital right now. They're all up there. He has mycoplasma pneumonia, and it's severe. He's non-responsive. He can't speak. He's just. This is.
Yeah, we can cast that to the screens.
Yeah.
So what is this disease?
It's mycoplasma pneumonia.
And what does that mean?
It has something to do with the blood.
Yeah, he has a severe case of pneumonia. It's like a bacterial pneumonia. And he's just so sick right now. Sharon thinks he was close to death's door. And we've been talking briefly on and off with them. They're just tired, exhausted, desperate, you know. You know, I told them we would pray for them as a church this morning, so.
And this is Abraham?
This is Abraham, yes. So if we could do that, I'd really appreciate it. I know they would appreciate it very much.
Could we stand and hold hands?
Yeah. Father, what we just did, we're remembering your sacrifice for us. You gave us your son so that we could have life. And it says in the Old Testament, it says that by your stripes we are healed. And boy, when they said that in the Old Testament, they didn't even know what you were talking about. But we are blessed to live in this new covenant. And we understand, Lord, that by your wounds we are healed. We are made whole by your wounds. Where you were broken, we are made whole. And that applies to little Abraham, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would send your healing right now, that you would completely remove his fever, that you would completely remove that bacterial pneumonia, that horrible sounding stuff that he's got. We pray that you would remove that and that you would give him wholeness. Absolute health, absolute wholeness, and restore him completely, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Father God, we speak life.
Yes, Jesus.
We speak the life of Christ into that child's mortal body, that he may live.
Yes, Lord.
And that he may live well and strong and long.
Amen.
And know you and rejoice in you,
yes,
and remember,
Lord,
the day you raised him up from near death.
Yes, raise him up, Lord.
And Father God, we speak death to the bacteria that is in his body.
Lord. Destroy it.
And we give eviction notice to all the toxins that have accumulated in his body, and tell them to get out in the name of Jesus. Father God, we stand before your throne from our place in Christ.
Yes.
And we command this healing to be done.
Yes, Lord.
That your will in heaven
be
is the will on earth, and that it come now.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Father and Son, for the great things you have done and this great thing that you are doing now to raise that child up.
Mm.
And Father God, we speak your peace,
yes,
your deep, serene heart peace over his anxious parents.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for a healing in their hearts for the trauma they have already endured through this illness.
Mm-hmm.
Minister to them too, Lord God, as you raise that child and change their mourning to joy.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Turn their grief into ecstatic happiness. For you are an extravagant God towards your children.
Yes, Lord.
And we pray that that extravagance would be manifested upon and into this family that is under such dire stress,
mm,
through which the doctors are not winning the battle, and nature is not winning the battle, and the battle is yours, Lord, and you are always victorious. So in Jesus' name, we proclaim healing. We proclaim life. We proclaim restoration of good health, and we proclaim peace.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. And we believe that you've given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Father, you've told us that. Oh, you've told us that all your promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We pray the blood over this young kid, you know, Abraham.
Yes, Abraham.
And over Ransom, his wife, mm-hmm, and over the Bodines, Lord, in Jesus' name, your peace, but grant them great faith and remove their unbelief, Lord.
Yes.
They can stand in the gap for this kid, Lord, for their child, for their son, for their grandson. Almighty God, we come against the lies of the enemy, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. No way, no way. We stand against you. We resist you in Jesus' name by the power of his blood right now. Get out of there. You've got no right. You've got no right. Oh, you make me mad, Satan. We hate you. We hate your work. And we stand for the righteousness of God. We stand for it. Your healing right now, Lord. Right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We thank you for it right now. We thank you for it. Oh, Abraham, receive that. Wake up. Come back. There's more work to do. There's a reason for you to be here.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. Yes. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. My God.
Get up, Abraham. We believe that you're healed.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are our healer, and you've given us all these wonderful promises. And you've given us the authority to tell those infirmities to leave his body in the name of Jesus. We believe that it's being done. It's already been done. So we claim healing on Abraham's life, God. We claim that he will just completely just be restored and wake up in the name of Jesus, that you will just touch him right now, God. Completely make him whole. Oh, God, we just give him to you, Lord. This is your precious child. You love him even more than we could. And we know that he is in your hands, God. And you've got a great future for that boy. And we're just thanking you, God, already, because we know that you're going to show us a miracle, Lord. We just believe that your miracle is on its way, God. It's
going to show.
It's going to show up, God.
Oh.
This little boy, he needs to come back to life, Lord. We just thank you for him. We thank you for the things he's going to do in his life. God, you've got great plans for that little boy. We thank you, Jesus. We give you complete,
hallelujah,
complete to him, Lord. He is yours, God. That is your little boy. Bring him back, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. We can't wait to hear the miracle, God. We can't wait to hear them call us and say he's alive, he's fine, he's healthy,
he's fine,
he's strong.
Yep.
We thank you, Jesus.
Thank
we
claim you,
Jesus. And we believe, we have faith, God, that you we can move mountains, that you can heal this precious child in Jesus' name. Thank you.
I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I send my word and heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer.
You send your word, you heal my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we receive that.
Lord, we know that you didn't cause this sickness, but we also know, Lord, that you can use it to your glory, and we look forward to seeing that. We look forward to your name being glorified by what you're going to do in Abraham's body right
yes,
now.
Yes.
We praise you, and we thank you in advance, because we know. We know.
We thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
Well, have them send us some video right now. Come up. I'll bet you he's up right now.
Thank you, Lord.
I'll bet you he is awake right now. Yeah. That's the way God works. Now, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And he said, ask anything, anything of me, according to my will, and I will do it. And I'll tell you what, it's God's will that we are well.
That's right.
That's a powerful prayer we just prayed. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that was happening. Where are they? Eugene, Portland?
Riverbend.
Eugene.
Wow.
I just want to say I appreciate the picture, because I personally rely on that visual of knowing who I'm praying for. We started with the prayer chain last night for Abraham, and we were amongst us in the family, we were asking, is this a child? Is this an older person? We don't know. So I really appreciate the photo, because I can say Abraham.
Me too. Me too. That was powerful. Thank you. That was a great idea. So, yeah. What else can we pray for? What's God doing?
I was visualizing him right in the middle of this.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes.
I think for the fires, that many people, it's hard to know exactly how to pray for them. They lost everything. I don't know what that feels like, and I don't know how they begin to rebuild, but I would like to pray that God's Spirit would sweep across those areas.
Wait, just pray.
Yeah.
Okay. Pray. Loud. Yeah.
God, we are so grateful that your sovereignty is not questioned ever.
Yes.
It's always there.
Yes.
This has been a terribly violent event, and we don't understand why.
Mm.
And so many innocent people who have been trapped by these fires and caused to run, and they're left with nothing in their hands. So they really understand nothing. And I pray that in that emptiness, you would flow from mouth to mouth, from heart to heart, that you would heal the sadness and the anxiety that must be going along with not having a place to go, not having any of their things, losing precious mementos. And for those who have lost lives, I pray for their families, that they, in their hurt, can find you, can see you. That your comfort that goes beyond all understanding, that
it would be standing right next to them. Okay, sorry. That it would be standing right next to them. They would see you in that. I've heard several announcers say that this is a biblical fire, maybe. But I know that you are there with them. And I pray that you would raise up your people among those who are destitute to share the joy they still have and the understanding that they have and the peace that they carry through all of this. And I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Father, stop the fires as soon as possible. Bring rain. Give the firefighters safety. I know they're exhausted and they're running in while others are running out, like always. So thank you for them. God bless them. And we too stand in prayer with them and with those brothers and sisters who are there who will be the front line for you through the fire. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I do pray in the midst of all this, like Sherry's saying, where do you turn? And a lot of these people didn't even have insurance. It's not like they have a home waiting for them. Where do they turn? What family, what friends? They got to turn to Jesus. Number one, Lord. I pray this is one of the great awakenings. We're in the midst of calamity and tragedy. New life, Lord. New life. New life poured out, Lord. And I pray that all the pastors and Christians, the people with an evangelical heart that would love to share your life and your joy with people, they would use this as an opportunity to help people. I know it's in tragedy that people are awake. It's in calamity that people cry out. It's in the foxhole that so many people get saved. And I pray in the foxhole of this fire, Lord, that people will come to Jesus. And they'll look back and go, I lost a house, but I gained a life. Lord Jesus. And just watch over folks like Sherry was praying. So many family members, so many kids displaced, so many schools burnt down, businesses ruined, lifetime of work and, you know, slaving to meet the needs of your family. God, oh God. I don't have a prayer of how to fix it, but I know that without Jesus, what a waste. And though we gain this whole world, if we don't have life in Christ, what have we gained? Nothing. But I pray through this, you'll use this terrible, terrible thing to shine your light, your love, that people come to Jesus and they'll see your glory in the midst. Yes. And they'll see the light of Christ in the midst of the darkness of the ashes, Lord. Almighty God, we lift all these people up to you. All these situations up to you. It's a terrible thing, Lord. But we thank you that all things work together for good. To those who love God and are called according to your purpose. You'll turn it around. What Satan means for evil, Lord, use for your kingdom. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm sure, just like me, I think that's on. I'm sure, just like me, you guys have been watching a lot of news and trying to figure out what is this. You've heard a lot of mismanagement and poorly done this and poorly done that, you know, and hopefully they'll get all that stuff worked through. But right now, that was a wonderful prayer, Sherry, because the need is for comfort, the need is for supplies, the need is for safety. The need is for, I mean, this is trauma. I mean, PTSD, the whole world is gone. You just don't, it's gone. You don't just turn around and you get over this. This is years, years to get back on a stable footing. And but God is in the midst of these things. Every time there's calamity, whether it's an earthquake, a tornado, a tidal wave, there are many stories of God's redemption, God's provision, God's showing up. And so I think we're in a crazy, wild time, a great awakening in America and in the world right now. And I don't know if you guys know who Joe Rogan is. He's a podcaster. He's very popular among the young people today. He's an avowed atheist. He podcasted a 3 or 4 hour podcast this week with a really powerful Christian apologist. And I think Joe is one step away from making a commitment to Jesus. I mean, his mind was blown. And so hopefully he comes to the kingdom. But I'm telling you, 40 million people watched that podcast. 40 million people heard one of the clearest gospels they've ever heard in their life. And that's not by accident. It's a time like this where there are podcasts, there's alternative news and all that, that the word is going out. Expect to see this. And what they see is a movement of young men in their 20s and 30s coming to Christ. Young men. We haven't seen that in forever. And wow, what an incredible thing. And then these fires and this whole turnaround of all our governments. There is so much happening all at once. Be of good cheer. Rejoice. Your Lord is at hand. And I wouldn't be surprised if he came back at noon. We better hurry up. He's on his way. I'm telling you, God is on the move. Don't miss it. Don't get caught up in other things. And I know you've got tasks and you've got things to run here and do that. God's on the move. Watch for opportunity to share the love of Christ with people. Watch for opportunity to tell them the verbal gospel. Your love, your kindness, really cool. But if they don't know that comes from Jesus Christ, then it's not going to have the impact you want it to have. You've got to verbally proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And right now people are listening. Right now people are watching. So be of good cheer and be of great courage and be of great faith and know that this we are going to see amazing things for the kingdom. Amen? I really think that. Anybody else want to jump in on that bandwagon? God's moving.
I do have a question. Are these fires you're talking about in California, Southern California?
Are you not aware? Well, what rock did you just climb?
I don't have TV.
What's that?
I don't have TV.
Oh yeah, I don't have TV.
That's probably
a good. That's fair. Yeah, you're blessed. But I'm telling you, it's massive. 5 major fires throughout the whole LA area, and you know, the Pacific Palisades, one of the richest groups of people in the world, wiped out. Malibu is gone. You know Malibu?
Well, yeah.
It doesn't exist. There's not a house in Malibu.
Over 9,000 structures.
Yeah, you're driving down 101 or Highway 1, and the ocean's over here, and in between the highway and the ocean are these super beautiful houses that have been there forever. All the movie stars and rich folks live there, and nothing now but ashes. Nothing. The entire coast. It's hard to believe because those are iconic places. I've been to many of them. I've been around that area. I've had relatives that lived out there, Laguna Beach or whatever. And my kid lives in Burbank, which is kind of spared. Everything's happening just around Burbank. But there's a lot going on. And I know we all have Californian connections. So be much in prayer. Who knows? Somebody may be living with you this month.
That's one of the things, Don, that we talked about last night, is that we may see a mass of people moving into our city. So we'll need to be sensitive to that and open to it. Mm-hmm. And they make us uncomfortable, but because they're all liberals, no.
I have a spare room.
But here we
Well, there is a lot going on, and who knows, you know. And the enemy can be at work at things like this too, you know, trying to make people in despair, But I'm telling you, every time Satan thinks he's got the upper hand, he loses. You know, it's Friday. Remember that? It's Friday. Jesus is on the cross. It's Friday. He's crucified. It's Friday. He's dead. And the apostles were wondering what happened. We thought he was going to take over. It's Friday. But Sunday's coming. And on Sunday, Jesus came back from the dead. On Sunday, everything was changed. On Friday, Satan's skipping for glee. On Friday, Satan's going, I got him just where I want him. On Friday, he's like, I'm winning. And on Sunday, It was over for Satan.
He was taken captive.
He was taken
and
captive
through heaven so everybody can see his shame.
Oh my goodness. It's Friday in a lot of people's lives right now, but hold on, hold on. This too shall pass, and Sunday is coming. And it is Sunday right now. And we hope that we're learning how to listen to God. We didn't do anything churchy today. We didn't have a chance. Why? Because God showed up, kind of directed us in some other direction. Isn't it a bummer when God shows up and you can't get your programs done? Like, I don't know what he's thinking.
Interesting that you say that, because I feel like I have been to church.
I feel like I've been the church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Church, yeah.
Amen.
That's cool.
And going back to communion, I just want to make sure that everybody understands the importance and the purity of the blood of Christ.
Keep going.
We can all follow our DNA. We can all follow our DNA back to our parents through our Father. But Christ's Father was the Holy Spirit. That's why they can call him the second Adam. He was created solely by God through the Holy Spirit. His blood was pure. It was not tainted with the sin from Adam that carries forth into all of us. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that.
Well, you know, I don't think anybody's ever said that at our communion services. As many communions as we've done, a new insight. It never gets old. It never gets tired. It never quits growing. Thank you. Because that's true. When we're taking that blood, you've got to remember the blood of Christ was pure, untainted, unadulterated, unsin-tested, perfect blood. Yeah. Great. It's good memory.
You fulfilled the law.
Amen.
That's what Abraham is. The pure blood.
Oh, I'm telling you. Well, God is with us. God's moving. I hope you feel refreshed. I hope you realize you're part of the body of Christ. Every one of you is a minister. Every one of you is gifted. Every one of you has the Holy Spirit. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take the word. We're in Ephesians 4, moving to Ephesians 5, really picking up at verse 17 as we move into Ephesians 5. The first 15 verses of Ephesians 5 are stunning. They you won't believe it.
You got to get through the end of 4.
I got to get through from, we're at 17 at 4.
Stunning.
What we're going to do is look at it. So look at from 4:17 on till about the first half of 5. Get in there. Pray through it. Ask, Lord, what are you saying? What is here? Because it's us. That whole Ephesian passage is the body of Christ. It's who we are, how we got here, how we function, why we're in the world, what he's gifted us with, how he expects us to operate. And what we're doing right here is born out of what we see in Ephesians. We've got to do this. You have those gifts and you're using them. And everything that was said today, unplanned, spontaneous, spirit-led, transformational. Who thought that Tyler was going to bring that prayer request? Powerful. And to pray about the people and the fires and all the other things, a million other things, I'm sure. But God's moving. You see that? That was very organic, mostly spirit-led, a little bit of Mike and Dave and Don, but mostly spirit-led through us. And we'll get less and less of our fingerprints on this thing and more of him just moving. So as we come next week and we're more accustomed to this weirdness, we're going to crack the word and read a few verses and pause and go, what's the Lord saying? Because what we found in doing this is stuff comes to your mind that Jesus brings. The Holy Spirit gives you insight and you go, I didn't even study that. Where did that come from? Holy Spirit. Now, we'll also be discerning. You could say something wacky and we'll go, not sure. But that's what the Bereans did, right? The Bereans. Somebody told me they were going to church, the Berean church. Where'd Jacob go? Jacob went to the Berean church. And that's what they did, is they just shared the word. And, you know, the Bereans in the Bible, every time Paul preached, the Bereans would take it home and go, let's check it out. They check it against the word. And they'd come back and go, I'm not really sure. Well, that's okay. That's what we need to do. When we hear things from each other, you share things, we'll take it back to the Word. But I'm telling you, when you do that, the Holy Spirit shows up. You allow Him to move in you and through you and touch the Word, touch other lives. And you stand back and go, hey, you got to come to one of our churches. What do you mean? It's like nothing I've done before. Some of you may have. But what do you mean? Everybody's got the right to speak and share and pray and lead and guide. What? Sounds like a free-for-all. Right. It's a free-for-all in Jesus because we're all ministers. We all have the Holy Spirit. We're all tapped into the same juice. I want to see that flowing in us and through us. So I love this. I appreciate the fact your willingness to jump in and do things spontaneously. If you're a guitar player, a singer, whatever, I sang out a couple songs spontaneously. You can do that, or you can tap somebody and go, can you sing that one song, what you call it? And we can all do it together. So, did you get something out of that? You feel like you've been touched by God? We're going to go next door and enjoy a meal together. But before we do that, can we stand and hold hands again? That was really fun. And we'll have a closing prayer. Let's sing this song.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you give.
Things on our heart, and we thank you that you know that before a word's on our tongue, you've already answered, and we thank you for that. But may we continue to draw nearer to you, to grow closer to you, to know you better and better as you know us, as we open ourselves up to you to know us so much more. We look forward to eating together in the next room. We pray you bless that meal,
yes.
Strengthen our bodies, use that food to cause us to be strong and healthy, use it to make our immune system better than it ever was. And we know that some foods that we have, we can't get away from. There's a lot of tainted stuff. But in Jesus' name, neutralize. Yes, Lord. So we want to have you bless this food. We ask you, Lord, to make our bodies strong, keep us healthy. And we pray for little Abraham in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Amen.
One more thing.
One more thing.
One more thing.
And Betty's just having a rough morning. And she needs a prayer. I mean, pain.
Pain?
I'm happy to know you.
Betty?
I've got all kinds of weird things going on.
Let's pray for Betty.
Yeah, her blood.
I feel like I'm under it.
Okay, Father, we just pray for Betty, and we pray for all the weird things she's got going on in Jesus' name. You know what they are, and we say, no, not today, not today. Healing, blessing, peace, calm, complete and total takeover of all that stuff that Satan thinks he's got reign. No, no, no. In Jesus' name, we claim healing, we claim peace, we claim restoration right now. Oh, man. And you know how that works, Betty. Receive that. Walk in that. God's got you. But, man, sometimes it feels like the enemy puts a ton of bricks on our shoulder. And right now we shake that off in Jesus' name. We walk in his restoration, his healing, and his joy. Lift your eyes. The Lord loves you. He sees you. He knows you. He wants to give you a big fat hug. It's going to come from most of us.
Yes.
And, we love you, and we thank you for your healing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.